T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Zach Meisel of The Athletic was on the flight back from the winter meetings with Chris Antonetti, Mike Chernoff, and some other members of the Indians front office. When he got wind of this happening, he tried to break some of this on the air or on Twitter and couldn't do it because there was no Wi-Fi on the plane. That is just brutal. And he's joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach, that stinks, man. I can't believe the Wi-Fi was not working for you. It's a great article, but, man, that stinks.
I believe the kids call this first world problems. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say so. But take us to the scene. For those who haven't had a chance to read your article yet, take us to the scene of, like, getting on the plane and realizing something was going on and how it all went down.
Yeah, I mean, it was – you can kind of tell – when you sit down at your gate and you have a little time to board and you see Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff and a bunch of other Indians personnel, I mean, look, they're always texting and calling and working on things, but there was something in the air where it seemed like, you know, maybe they're actually doing something. And we've heard rumors all week, you know, at some point those come to fruition when all these teams have been under the same roof for 4 days. So I was told elsewhere about the trade right after they said to turn your phone into airplane mode. So I think I got one tweet out as the plane was taking off. And then after I tweeted that, I turned around and looked at Chris Antonetti, who was sitting a few rows behind me, which I know people are scratching their heads. This was a Southwest flight. They chose all to sit in the middle of the plane in aisle seats so they could collaborate on things. But I turned around and looked at Chris Antonetti, and he said, I just said, like, you guys made a trade? And he said, yeah, it's done. And then we started to go. He said, basically, just we can go over the details. Once we reach our cruising altitude, we can use Wi-Fi and whatnot. But that never happened. Wi-Fi didn't work. So it became this sort of chaotic afternoon on this flight. And I eventually was able to get all the information from them, but couldn't do anything with it until I landed. So it was interesting. I mean, they literally completed this trade as they're standing in line, lining up A1 through 30 to board a Southwest flight. They knew they were on the right track this morning. They had most of the things hammered out. They had to get approval from the commissioner's office because there was so much money involved in the deal. And once they did that, it was time to board the flight back.
What is your sense of all of this? Like, what do you think this means for the future? Does this give them the flexibility, you know, that they talked about to spend a little bit more this season? Like, reading the tea leaves here, Zach, what do you ultimately make of the move?
Yeah, they've made two trades now, and neither of them – I mean, you could look at both and criticize both and say you didn't really get better. I mean, I kind of chalked today's trade up to basically a wash. I know the Bowers kid from the Rays – hasn't put up the numbers that would make you excited, but I know from talking to people around the league, he's got potential. A lot of people like him. They like his swing profile. He looks like a guy who can hit for a bunch of power. And he's young, 23. So what they do, though, and this is what, like, you'll never be able to get them on the record to admit this, but I really think these two trades, what they've done is they've created, I know no one wants to hear this, they've created financial flexibility. And they have to prove that they're going to do something with the money they've saved, but it would make absolutely no sense if they didn't. I really think they're giving themselves an alternative to where if they can't make a trade and trade a starting pitcher, they now have some cash they can play with to go out and address the bullpen and address the outfield. So they're not done. There's plenty of work left to do, and they've got some holes to fill.
When I look at it, Zach, right now, like, with all the guys that are gone for this year, because I know in this trade they're saving $10 million, And with Brantley gone and Miller and Allen and Chisenhall and Gomes and McAllister, that's about $50 million. Now, I know there's raises for guys, but it seems like they would have money, if they just wanted to keep the payroll the same as last year, that they have money to spend, I think, even without trading Kluber or Bauer. I know if you trade one of them, you could probably get a haul back, but then you weaken a strength. So why the need to trade one of those guys when it seems like you already have that financial flexibility?
Yeah, there isn't. I mean, it's one way to address multiple things at once. And maybe if you – they're asking for a ton in return for Kluber and Bauer. And the fact that they haven't made a trade yet tells me, you know, like the Dodgers aren't saying, all right, here, take Bellinger and someone else. Like that's not happening yet, or else I think that would have been finished by now.
Sure.
So they don't want to move off of their stance, and they want to continue to ask for a lot, because if you're trading one of the best pitchers in the league, you can't settle. Mm-hmm. And so if they can't do that, well, at least the moves they've made so far give them some alternatives. And you're right. No, I mean, it's not anywhere close to $50 million they have saved, because they're going to have to pay Lindor and Bauer a lot more. And there's some other guys through raises, but yeah, they should have money to spend. If they don't, they deserve to be criticized and persecuted to the nth degree. But they really, I would think this means, I have no intel on this, but like, they're getting closer to the point where maybe they could play for AJ Pollock or one of those other outfielders, something like that. I mean, they're opening themselves up, because now they need to trade Yonder Alonso. They have no use for him. You know, they would love to move Jason Kipnis. That's a lot more money that could open things up even more. So I do think they are trending in that direction, to where maybe we need to open our eyes and see, hey, you know, there might be some relievers or some outfielders on the market that they could make a play for that we didn't think would be possible a few weeks ago.
If they played for A.J. Pollock, I mean, I know he's been injured a lot the last couple of years, but there's a lot of talent there. Bowers could play left field, Zach. He has played in the minors. He did play a little outfield. You know, I don't know what the metrics are on him defensively, but in terms of the outfield. But let me ask you this. Could they play to – could they bring Brantley back? Is that possible?
I don't know. I mean, he really should be a first baseman at this point. I know beggars can't be choosers, and they've got holes in the outfield. I wouldn't say it's impossible, and I'm sure, you know, if they're looking at an outfielder in the free agent market, he's certainly one of them. But I still think, like, they've got to move Alonso first, and if they could find someone to take Kipnis too, then that opens the door of possibilities even more.
If they do trade Bauer or Kluber, will they definitely get one proven major league player back?
Yeah, that's their goal, I think. And proven is tough, because, like, I know we've made a lot of big deal about the Dodgers because they seem to match up. And, like, I kind of think someone like Alex Verdugo, who's their top prospect and outfielder, he's hit really well in the minors. He's gotten a taste of the big leagues. Like, you would plug him in on opening day, and he'd be an everyday outfielder. So to me, like, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I mean, obviously, I'd prefer Bellinger, and if you're trading with the Dodgers and you're not getting Bellinger, you better get a lot more than just Verdugo. And so maybe get like Jock Peterson or something like that. But like, yeah, I would think the goal would be certainly one proven everyday outfielder and a few other pieces as well, and maybe you get a starting pitcher to replace the pitcher you traded. You get a bullpen piece. You get a prospect or two. I mean, there are ways to do that where you get immediate help now that doesn't make you substantially worse in the short term and also makes you much better in the long term.
I also think, Zach, you can't – I don't see how you would trade him to the Yankees or the Astros. I don't think they will. If you're still trying to win, which they are, I think, even though they've, you know, the team's not as good as it was at the end of last year at this point, if you're trying to win, you can't trade him to me, no matter what you get, you can't trade him to the Yankees and Astros. I shouldn't say no matter what you get, but anything reasonable, you should. I like the idea of trading him more to the Dodgers or Atlanta. Or, you know, I know Cincinnati's been mentioned. Maybe you get Raisel Iglesias. I know they just signed him to an extension. And Nick Senzel, who's a top prospect. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but do you feel like they can't trade him in the American League, or at least to the Yankees or Astros?
Unless it's the heist of the century, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I asked that question to those guys earlier this week, and I was expecting an answer of, oh, we just have to focus on whatever makes our team as good as it can be, But they actually admitted, yeah, we have to give that strong consideration. You don't want to make those competitors any better. And if you trade them to the National League, I mean, it would completely depend on the package in return. But, like, if you could trade them to Cincinnati, a team that
needs
a lot more than just Kluber or Bauer, that you're not going to have to worry about that, that would be a perfect scenario.
Yeah, I was mentioning that before, right, because at least the Dodgers and Braves, you might end up having to play them in the World Series potentially, which would stink, but you know, who knows. But as long as you trade them to the National League. All right, Zach, so do you think they'll definitely try to move Alonso and they want Bauers to play first, or do you think they'd be comfortable at least for a year potentially Bauers playing some in the outfield?
Yeah, I mean, Antonetti even said today while we were interviewing him at the TSA pre-check info desk at the airport, as one does. Now, he said, like, they like Bauers' defensive versatility. He's played a little corner outfield, but he grades out as a pretty good first baseman. So I think that's your preference. That's your ideal scenario. I know they've tried to shop Yonder Alonso around a little bit. I don't know how much interest there is for a first baseman with a pretty average bat. But, again, they'll keep doing that. If they can move him, I think that would be a huge benefit.
And I feel like they can't trade Kipnis, because the only way I can see you trading him is if you attached him in a Kluber-Bauer deal and then you get less back, which doesn't make any sense to me. The second base market, as you know, Zach, is saturated with free agents right now. I just don't see why anybody would give up any. I mean, I guess you could get him for almost nothing if you just wanted to kind of give him away, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's any interest. He's been pretty bad for 2 years. What do you think?
Yeah, I would attach him to a prospect and move him if I thought I had a legitimate chance of signing a legitimate free agent.
Agreed. Sure.
If that was the one hurdle preventing you. But I'm not – if I'm trading Kluber or Bauer, I'm getting the absolute best package of talent in return, and I'm not trying to dampen that just to save $14 million for this season.
Right. Agreed. Zach, great stuff. Great work today. Thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.